All right, let's go ahead and get our Bibles and turn to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 1. We're going to begin reading at verse number 28 this morning. I'd like for you to stand if you would, please. Romans chapter 1, verse number 28. Now, here a while back, we went over some of these verses, but we're going to take a totally different approach this morning. Now, tonight, Lord willing, I'm going to do some teaching. And this morning, Lord willing, I'm fixing to preach. Now, we have some sweet, comforting music. And some great congregational singing. Now we're fixing to rear back and preach. Romans chapter 1, verse number 28. Well, I say I am if this thing holds together. Never wore a pair of glasses with scotch tape. We'll see. Romans chapter 1, verse number 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness. Yeah. Amen. You know, before I continue to read that, that might be something when my glass is breaking and the microphone's falling and whatever else is going to happen here. He might not want this thing preached. Well, let's see. Covetous, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable and merciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. I want you to notice one word in the midst of all that that it's describing there of wicked people. Of people that wind up with a reprobate mind. You find hidden in all that where it's talking about all those wicked acts. And there's some pretty rough ones in this passage. Haters of God, that's rough, ain't it? Inventors of evil things. Fornication, murder. And right in the midst of that, you find this word that shows up only one time in your King James Bible, and you find it right here. It's covenant breakers. I'm going to preach on covenant breakers this morning. Oh, God, help us. Brother Roger, would you pray for this and we can be seated? Yes, Lord. Yes. 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 Yes.
Thank you once again for salvation.
Yes.
Whenever it's calling your Father.
Yes.
Lord, I just thank you for this day again. In Jesus'
name. Amen. 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 Thank you. You may be seated. Now, first of all, what is a covenant? The definition of a covenant, and you see them in the Bible. There's several covenants in the Bible. I'll give you a definition, an idea of what a covenant is. It's a formal, solemn, binding agreement. It's an agreement, a written agreement, or a promise under seal between two or more parties, especially for the performance of some action, a pledge, or a contract. So a covenant breaker is a fellow that breaks an agreement with either a man or, most importantly, with God. And God says that's a sin this morning. Now, y'all already shut me down. I just got started. Y'all stay with me. Come on. I want you to understand that. I especially think it's a sin of the last days. I want to show you something else. Here's another place. Take your Bible. We're going to turn to one more scripture this morning, then we'll go on preaching. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I want you to look at that. You noticed a while ago that covenant breaker, that's the only time you find that in your King James Bible. And there's another word we're going to look at here. And it's the only time you find it in your King James Bible. You find this word covenant breaker. Then you find something very similar to that over here in a 2 Timothy chapter 3, as it describes the condition of the last days, how the world's going to be in bad shape in the last days. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1. The Bible says this: know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Here we go, truce breakers. Now that's something very similar. Being a truce breaker is very similar to being a covenant breaker. And you know what that thing says? It says one of the things you're going to find as a symptom or a sin or that's going on, the closer you get to the return of Christ, is people are going to be truce breakers. They're going to make a truce and then break it. Nobody wants peace nowadays. United Nations is supposed to be this great thing of peace. How many wars has the United Nations been in since they started? They're not a thing of great peace. There's no. There's not going to be any peace till Jesus Christ shows up and he's on the throne. But as you, listen, what we've got now, and I'm not preaching to lost people here this morning. I'm preaching to saved people. I tell you what we've got in the body of Christ now. We got a bunch of folks that will not keep their word and will not keep their agreement. And they won't do it with man and they won't do it with God. And that's a problem. God calls it sin. If I live the next 20 minutes, I'm going to preach about it being sin. Now listen. The day of a binding agreement taking place over a handshake is over. Legal contracts always contain some type of small writing that only highly educated people can understand. I'm going to tell you something. If just regular people can't read that contract and understand what it's saying, that guy's trying to rip you. You better not sign it. Amen. Treaties and political agreements are broken all the time now in our world. You know that. Listen, there are more homes, vehicles, furniture, boats, four-wheelers repossessed now than ever. If you want a good career choice and you're wondering, if you're a young man in here and you're pretty tough and you're wondering, what can I do to make a good living? Be a repo man. Go ahead and be your repo man. You got plenty of work because ain't nobody paying for nothing. They not thinking ahead about paying for it. They not thinking about how it's going to come out of their check. Just that's what I want. I want another four-wheeler. I want another four-wheeler. I got to have another four-wheeler. Okay. All right, the repo man. Now listen, don't jump up in the middle of the night in your Fruit of Looms with a gun at the door. When at 3 o'clock in the morning, the repo man comes and gets your thing. You say, I can't believe he's in my yard. I'll shoot you. I'll kill you. Come get my car. No, it ain't your cotton-picking car. You didn't pay for it. Amen. Don't be mad with the repo man. Be mad with yourself. If you stay at home and cook sometimes, you might get paid for your car. Whoop! You don't know how to cook. I don't either, but I can warm up some beans or something. Eat some potted meat and viney sausage. That amazes me how people get mad. And the repo man, he's got to be careful because he'll get shot. You know why he'll get shot? He'll get shot because you won't pay your bills. And you think you ought to jump up in the middle of the night and shoot him because he's just taking back what you're supposed to be paying for. Some of you look like you've met the repo man. You're looking awfully pale this morning. How many young fellas in here still praying about a career? Anybody? Repo man. Amen. Now I'm going to name a few areas where Christians are covenant breakers. Listen. I don't want you just to laugh and ha-ha and go, ooh, I can't believe he said that and all that stuff this morning. I want you to get this in your heart. We got a problem as Christians when we can't keep our agreements. We can't keep our word. We don't take it serious what we pledge to God. You know what Christians do? They'll pledge everything to God. I've seen it over and over and over and over in my ministry. And then when God comes through and bails them out, the FBI can't find them. There's something wrong with you. You come to the altar and you praying and get on every prayer list in this county and every church, and people are praying and crying and squalling all over you, and you go back to the doctor and the test come back negative and the thing is gone. I've seen it happen. And what do? You're in church just long enough to get the prayers of the saints and to get people to take up a love offering for you, whatever, bless God. And then when God heals you, you go. There's something wrong with a man or a woman like that. Some of you's looking at me like, man, I don't know how I wandered in here this morning. There's something wrong with somebody like that. I had a situation that last church I pastored where a woman said they found cancer on her liver. They found it on the video. And she wasn't in church, and she wound up coming to church. And the church, we were real good to her, and we prayed for her, trying to help her and whatever financial needs that was going on. And it was supposed to be a bad deal. She went back and got a test done, and the cancer's gone. As far as I know, this was years and years and years ago. That woman's still living. I don't know if she came back. Maybe she came back to the church one time. One time. Gone.
Yeah.
You say, what's the results of that? I don't know if this got anything to do with it or not, but I supposedly led her daughter. to the Lord. I supposedly baptized her daughter. Daughter got older, and went out and married a woman. You going to thumb your nose up at God? You're going to pray and ask God, go, God, if you'll just help me, if you'll just help me, I'll do this, I'll do that. Not going to keep your vow, are you? God reaches down there and he takes the cancer away. He pays the bill. He sends your husband back to you. He sends your wife back to you. And God does that for you. And then you're going to forget what you told him you'd do for him. Then you might just have something like that happen. I'm not saying that. I don't know if it's got anything to do with that at all. I just know that's what happened. And I know that the person never come back to church. They're a covenant breaker. Don't you come out here to this altar and promise God everything in the world if he'll just get you through it, if he'll just restore it, if he'll just fix it. And then when he does what he told you, what you asked him to do, he does it, then you don't keep your end of the bargain. You're a covenant breaker. Amen. That's sin.
Amen. Amen.
Some people are just covenant breakers when it comes to financial obligation. They won't pay their bills. They buy things they know they can't pay for. Listen, man, I don't earn your money. I don't earn your paychecks. It's none of my business what you do with your money. I could care less. This ain't Jim Jones up in here. You do whatever you want to with your money. I'm going to tell you something. You ought not be taking out stuff that you can't pay for. You know what's wrong? Some of you like to give to a missionary. You like to put something in the plate, but you can't, because if you miss two checks, they'll come get everything you got, because you got a bunch of junk you don't need.
Right. Right.
Amen.
Right.
And you can't give nothing to God.
Amen.
They won't. But listen, when you tell somebody you're going to pay for something, you ought to pay for it.
Yeah.
You ought to do your best to pay for it. I know unforeseen things happen sometimes. And listen, everybody that files bankruptcy, sometimes bad things happen, man. You get hurt on the job and all of a sudden something happens. I know that. I pastored long enough. I've been with enough people. I've seen that stuff happen. But that's not what happens most of the time. What happens most of the time is God said, I've given you enough money to live down here. And he said, I don't want to live down here. I want to live up here. My neighbors are living up here. Other folks in the church are living up here. God said, no, just live down here, and maybe in a few years I'll let you live up here. And I want to live up here. All right.
Come on.
Then you break your agreements. You break your word.
Yep.
You told the fella you'd pay for it. And then you wind up filing bankruptcy.
Yep.
Ooh, it's getting quiet up in here.
Right.
Don't nobody come up and tell me I don't know your financial history, and I don't want to know it. You ought to pay your bills. When you don't pay your bills, you're a covenant breaker. When it comes to family, people are covenant breakers when it comes to their family. You know, listen, it ain't always been easy with me and my wife. She can certainly say that about me. But you know what I did some, matter of fact, tomorrow. I was supposed to do birthdays and anniversaries today, wasn't I? I forgot. Tomorrow will be 24 years, right? I'll be married to this precious lady 24 years. Now listen. It ain't always been easy. But you know what goes in my mind? Two things. Number one, I told God that I'd stay with her and take care of her. And number two, her daddy, he's been dead and gone a long time now, but you know, she came from Pennsylvania. She at 19, she went to college and 18 and moved 1,000 miles away from her home, and her parents left her down there with me, of all people. You know what I told her daddy? I made a promise to her daddy, who's in heaven. He's in heaven.
Yes, praise
I said, I'm going to take care of your daughter.
Yeah.
And if I die, I've got to take care of her.
Amen.
But I'm going to take care of her.
That's good.
People don't take that serious no more. Well, she said this and she done that and she... What about you, man? You think you all that in a bag of chips? You ain't even a bag of chips. You are a legend in your own mind. I hear men say stupid stuff like that. Well, she gained weight, you know. Yeah, because she gave you 3 babies, you stupid person. You think her hips is going to stay the same after that? What's the matter with you? I used to have a basketball coach when I was in high school, and if you'd done something stupid, he'd run up to you. He was old school. He'd smoke Pall Mall cigarettes in halftime and cuss you and write the play on the board and say, get out there and do it. But he'd just say this, when you do something in a game and you make a bad play, he'd yell out, he'd go, Knowles, you're just a non-thinker. You're just a non-thinker. I don't want you to improve in front of everybody. Just a non-thinker. Some of you just a non-thinker. You don't ever think about this stuff.
That's right.
People are covenant breakers when it comes to their family and their vows and to raise children. More grandparents raising children now than ever. Thank God for the grandparents. You be a good grandparent. You raise that youngin' if you need to. And do a good job and raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I'm going to tell some of you young people, bless God. If you ain't old enough to pay bills and old enough to be responsible and take care of stuff, you ain't old enough to have relations. If you ain't got enough Christian character in you to put a ring on her finger and to go to work with her, you ought to keep your hands off of her. Or go to the doctor and get fixed. We don't need no more of that mess. I know some of you don't like it because you used to Benny Hinn and all that mess on TV. You done wandered in here, brother, where somebody will preach something. I'm not worried about you coming back. I'm worried about God doing a work in your heart this morning. Amen. Thank you. Some people don't keep their obligation. They're covenant breakers when it comes to work. Every time the boss leaves, you sit down on a 5-gallon bucket. You cheat, lay out of work, call in and make excuses that ain't right. Boy, man, you talking about folks. I'm going to get everybody in here this morning. I'm going to get myself. I already preached it to myself, but. Listen, man, do you realize when that fellow said, well, my boss don't pay me enough? I understand that, but you signed an agreement. You said, my boss is going to pay me this much money for this much work. You can't complain after you make the agreement.
Amen.
Work and go get you another job.
Right.
But don't sit down on your boss.
Right.
You're a covenant breaker. You're not agreeing to do what he asked you to do, what he said he's going to pay for you to do.
That's right,
you ought to work hard.
Yeah.
People can't trust you. People are a covenant breaker when it comes to the church.
Amen.
I remember one time a church I pastored a long time ago. He'd been out and you couldn't depend on him to come. And he came up in front of the church one time. He said, Brother Dennis, I'd like to say something to the church. I said, okay, go ahead. He said, I just want to tell the church I've been out for a long time. And I just want to tell everybody in the church I'm back this morning. I am back. And everybody started applauding and said, amen. And come out and gave him the right hand of fellowship. It was about 3 or 4 months before he came back.
Yeah.
Do you know what people do? They get emotional and make emotional decisions. They don't mean none of that mess. They just run in their mouth. They don't mean it. You know what you'll do? You get in a service like this where Brother Dennis is preaching and the singing's good, and you'll feel the emotion of it. And by the time you make it out of that front door back there and get out in the parking lot, you done lost everything. It's not a decision of the emotion. It's a decision of the will. You have to, by your will, say, I have made an agreement. I don't always feel like taking care of it. I don't always feel like standing by. Sometimes it's very difficult to stand by and to keep that agreement. But God would have me to do it. I've always said if everybody in the church pulled their weight, nobody would be overworked in the church.
Amen.
Nobody would be stressed out in the church. You know why people are stressed out and worked and why sometimes in my ministry through the years I've seen people just come and say, look, I can't take it no more. I can't do it no more. You know why? Because there's so many in the church that sits on their blessed assurance and won't do something for God. God didn't mean for the same few to do all the work and to pay all the bills and do all the things. He meant for everybody to get in there and do something. Amen. Thank you. You break your covenant to the church. You come up here and you say, I've been saved and I've been baptized. I want to join this church. I agree with the articles of faith of this church. I believe what you believe. Now I want to get in here and be a faithful member of the church. And a little trouble comes. Some problems come. Some struggles come. And you're out. But the worst thing is we're covenant breakers with God. God saved you and you profess that he's your Lord and Savior. So why don't you live like it? Again, you promise that you'll change. You rededicate and you promise you'll do this. You promise you'll do that. And God is so gracious and so merciful. He does what he says he's going to do.
Right. Amen.
And how do we repay him? Out.
Right.
Out. Out in the world. We're covenant breakers. It's long gone in this country, Sonny, where I could walk up to you, walk up to Mark or Brother Jonathan or any of you and say, this is what I'm going to do. And if I don't do it, I'm going to die trying. And when I put your hand, puts in my hand, I'm making an agreement with you that based on my Christian word, I'm going to do it. And when I get on my knees and I say, God, you know how fallible I am, you know how weak I am, and you know how sinful I can be at times, but God, if you'll help me, everything that I told you I'm going to do, I'm going to do, but with your grace and help, I'm going to do it. And I take, and I see it as a serious violation against God in heaven when I don't.
That's right.
And that's the problem with some of you.
Amen.
You don't think what I'm preaching on is that big a deal.
Yes, it is.
You think because I ain't preaching on adultery and fornication and drinking and doping and all that, you think this, oh, what's he making such a big deal out of this covenant breakers, this truth breakers? It's a big deal.
Yes, it is.
It's a big deal when you break your agreements and you break your promises. It's a big deal when you say, I'm going to do this and for God, and God, if God, if you'll do this, and God keeps his end of the bargain, but you won't keep yours.
That's right.
It's a big deal. Quickly here, and we'll be finished with this morning. I believe that a Christian should keep his agreements with God and man. And if you're a covenant breaker, there's probably one or four of these reasons why you are. Number one, you have a problem with integrity. I know it's rough. It's real quiet in here. It's a character issue. I know we all have character flaws. I understand that. God's working on all of us. I understand that. But there's a part of your character that's not right. There's a part of your character. You have integrity problems. It's a character issue. You are a dishonest person. Now, I know that hurts. Because you say, well, don't you call me dishonest. I ain't no liar. You better not say I'm dishonest, okay? Do you keep your agreements with people? Do you do what you tell people you're going to do? When somebody says, I'm going to pay you to do this, if you do this, do you do it honestly? When you promise God the world and he gives it to you, do you keep your end of the promise? Do you stay there when you're married, when things are rough and tough and you don't even like being married anymore, or do you just walk out because it's too hard, too difficult?
Yeah.
You know what your problem is? At least some part of you inside, you lack character.
Yes.
Now listen, if you won't bow up at this and get mad at this, but say, God, he's right, that preacher's right. God will do something in your heart this morning. You'll leave changed. You'll leave different. You sit back there and bow up and I can't believe that. I just, you ain't going to get a bit of help.
That's right.
You've got problems with your character.
Right.
You have integrity problems.
Yeah.
We all have some of that and we all just need to admit it and get help. Amen.
Right.
I'll tell you something else if you're a covenant breaker. You have a problem with priorities.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping your word is not a priority to you. It isn't important to you. For an example, when I say I need to be to work and I'm just going to sleep instead, you think sleeping is a greater priority than going to work. When I'd rather be out on the bass lake, I'd rather be in a deer stand, that's a greater priority than being in the house of God. Or you would be here. I don't care how many fish you catch, man. I love fishing. I don't care how many hunting trips you go on. I like to hunt. But don't be doing it during service time on Sunday. I got I'm from a redneck place down there. I mean, you drive 10 miles past the end of the earth to get where I used to pastor and live. Everybody fished, everybody hunted. That's all they did. I'm one of them. Everybody's planting stuff and fishing and hunting and all that. But come deer season, brother, some of that bunch of backslide. I got up there one Sunday, and it probably was in the flesh. No, you couldn't imagine me ever preaching in the flesh. I said, bless God, if you miss another church service in here to go deer hunt, I'm going to pray that your truck motor blows up going to your stand. I said, I'm going to pray that God sends a wind by and blows the shooting house over with you in it. I said, I'm going to pray that the biggest buck you've ever seen, like 15 points, with a spread like this comes and your gun goes click. You got plenty of time to hunt. Don't miss God. Don't miss a service just to go kill a big deer. Is that everything you told me, Sonny, to say? Sonny wants me to preach on that because he don't hunt. He ain't worried about it. Listen. If you're a covenant breaker, you have a problem with discipline or willpower. Now listen, all of us have some areas that are not disciplined. And some of them you can see more than in others. Like, you can see what my discipline problem is. All of us have some issues with discipline in some area or another. I know that. Believe me, I know that. However, if you're a covenant breaker and you don't keep your agreements and you don't keep your word, that's because you don't have control of yourself. Listen, folks, the Christian life is not always easy to live. Doing right is not always easy. How many of you know that many times keeping your word is not easy? It's tough. But you and I somehow or another is going to have to get some kind of spiritual grit in our crawl and say, you know what? I'm going to have to do some things I don't enjoy doing. I'm going to have to be a part of some things I don't want to be a part of sometimes. I'm going to have to realize that it is my duty to do right, whether I feel like it or not, or want to or not. Because what I do in keeping my word affects others. And more importantly, it affects my relationship, my fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing. If you're a covenant breaker here this morning, you just don't have any discipline. You don't have any willpower. And what you'll do is say, God, I'm saved. I believe the Holy Spirit of God lives within me. Now, if you live within me, help me to have some discipline in my life. Help me to be a person that keeps my word and keeps my agreements. Most importantly, with you, Lord. Amen. And then with everybody else. You know, there's a big thing that goes around. I'm going to back up and I get my last point here, and we'll get ready to go to the house here in a moment. There's a thing that people talk about a lot about preachers that won't pay their bills. Yeah. Any of you ever heard that? Raise your hand. Yeah. Well, that's a few hands. I thought everybody's hand would go up. I thought everybody heard about preachers that won't pay bills and leave town not paying their bills and all. And that's a sorry testimony. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't know that I'd want to listen to a preacher preach every Sunday telling me about how I need to get my life right when he won't pay his bills. I know things happen sometimes when you can't pay your bills. Do you know what you're supposed to do? Listen, I know somebody very precious to me that used to get mad because the bill collectors are called all the time. Now, finally, they got it fixed, and she would get mad, and I ain't going to answer that. Why are they calling me this late at night? They shouldn't be bothering me this late at night. They calling you because you owe them money. Pay your bills, and they won't be calling anymore.
Amen.
Come on. Yeah. So, I don't know if I want to keep going there. But I'm talking about preachers, and preachers, they won't pay their bills and whatever. And they talk about that, and that's a terrible testimony where preachers won't pay their bills, and people talk about that. Let me tell you something. Me and my wife have worked hard to keep a good credit score. Because, not because I want to have good credit, but because I think it's honorable among people and God. And I'm not going to brag and tell you, but we both of us, unless something's happened I don't know about, we have a very high credit score. But you know how I got that? I'm 48 years old and I've never owned a four-wheeler. Now I drive my daddy's around, but I don't own one. I'm 48 years old, I've never owned my own boat. My daddy and uncle's got a bunch of them, I use theirs. I'm not going to be a hypocrite, but I haven't. I'm 48 years old, and I've never bought a brand new vehicle. The newest one I ever got was probably about 6 or 7 years old. I'll tell you one thing. Me and my wife ain't going to go home down the road tonight fussing about how we're going to pay the bills. And the number one problems in marriage and the number one thing that leads to divorce is financial issues. I'd rather have no boat, no four-wheeler, a small house, and one vehicle, and my wife with me. Or out there at the house fussing and arguing and carrying on about that mess all the time. Listen, man, I'm not trying to get in your personal business, but if you'll listen to some of this stuff, I'll help you. I'll help you.
Amen, bro.
You have a problem with discipline. You can't have your cake and eat it too. And that's sad for me because I do want to have my cake and eat it too. I'm not speaking figuratively. I'm speaking literally. I like cake and I want to eat it and have it and eat it and have it and eat it and have it. But you can't have everything you want, man. Now, I got one more point. If you're a covenant breaker, you just have a problem with a commitment. That's a bad thing. Over the years as a pastor, I've seen people, they commit to teach a class or commit to be a part of something, and they just fall out. Won't even call you and tell you. There's been many times I've showed up and had to put people in positions. I don't even know what's wrong. Did you leave? Are you in Peru? Or what happened? I don't even know where you're at. Don't tell me nothing. Now listen, there's something wrong when you are a covenant breaker and you don't take your commitment seriously. What do you think my wife would think if I said, well, I ain't going to work anymore and I ain't going to provide for you anymore. I'm just going to run off and leave and I'll be back whenever I get back. I can tell you what my wife would say. She'd say it with this. She'd say, when you get back, you better get your suitcases out. But I already got a plan for that too. I already said that one day if my wife ever decided to leave me, I'm just going to go with her. I come in one day, Brother Billy, she's got her suitcase out on the bed, packing it, and I'm leaving. I'm grabbing my suitcase, and I'm throwing it down. I'm going to pack, too. We're both going to leave together. Amen. Amen. You ain't leaving. I'm going with you. You're just not a dependable person. Now listen, folks, listen. This issue of being a covenant breaker is a serious thing.
Yes, it
is. I want to end by saying this. I don't want to put anybody in here under false condemnation. If you've made decisions in the past and you're still paying for them because you were a covenant breaker, there's absolutely nothing you can do but put it under the blood and try to move forward from here and do the best you can with what you're doing right now. You understand what I'm saying? I don't care if it's a relationship, a bill, a church, whatever. Put it under the blood, tell God you're sorry, and let's move on, okay? But right now it's been preached to you. One of the things in the end, as we get closer to Christ's return, is people ain't going to keep their word. They're going to be truce breakers. That's countries, people, but covenant breakers. And it's bad, listen, it's bad enough when you break a covenant to your wife or your family or your church family or your boss or people. But the worst thing of all is when you break a covenant to God.
Amen.
You promise God all this stuff. And because God is so merciful and so great and so wonderful, He gives you what you pray for. He delivers you. He answers your prayer. And you forget Him. God help us today to deal with every heart. And do not be ashamed. And do not worry about what anybody else thinks about you this morning. If they're looking at you, they probably need to be up here.
Amen.
God help us as Christians. I'm preaching to Christian folk here this morning. God help us as Christians to get this right here today and leave here differently. Thinking about our word means something.
Amen.
We don't want to be covenant breakers. Every head bowed and eye closed.